Did a good job, didn't he? That's to keep us all in one accord right there, in case you didn't know it. Good morning. Just want you to know how much Marilyn appreciates your prayers and your cards. She received one that just took her to tears, and she just couldn't get over it. And so I've noticed every day since she's got it, she goes over and reads it again. And everyone comes to her house, she shares it with them. And, you know, it's amazing how that just perked her up. I think we've been talking about encouraging one another, appreciating one another, doing things that will indeed touch out and touch someone, make a difference in their lives, and things of that nature. Well, I want you to know that touched me, too, to see it touch her and the aspects of that all together. I lived in Sturgis for quite a while, and so I did a lot of ministry in Ohio and LaGrange and whatever. We had people coming from all over the place down there. And in Ohio, they have railroad tracks, and every railroad track sets up like this, you know. You have to go up over a raise and whatever. Well, this hearse was traveling along, and they were late getting to the cemetery, and so they were speeding. And as it went up over the hump, well, the back door of the hearse fell open and the coffin fell out. And the one guy said, the other guy, we're going to have to rehearse that. Now, as I think about that, I want you to know that I'm going to be talking about a law you cannot deny. It's all around us. It's called the law of degeneration. Now, I may rehearse it over and over and over again until you get tired of my illustrating or bringing up reference to it, but it's a point. And the point is, I hope that it will help us to appreciate the fact that we really have a need to have a revival once in a while. We need to have a day where we just spend time together, worshiping, sharing, hearing the Word of God preached, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, I know that the Israelites, when they wandered through the wilderness for over 40 years, the shoes never wore out, right? Isn't that what it says? Well, it had to take a divine act of God for that to happen, right? You know, an optimist is the person that once his soul wears out, he just thinks he's back on his feet. So I'm pretty optimistic. I'm an optimistic person. I do not allow things to get me to a point where I lose my faith, my hope, my purpose, and who I am as a man of God. And I just want to ask you this question, Bud. When did that vehicle come off the line that you own, that red and white beautiful thing? What year is that? What is it? 58. So that's an antique, right? You know that most owners are older than their car? Well, that makes us antiques, doesn't it? When did your car come off? 2000, 1900, I don't know. But one thing I do know, cars do degenerate. They wear out, don't they? There's no doubt about that. Few cars, as you and I know today, sooner or later, there's rust all over them, whatever, engine overhaul, transmission goes out, you name it, the aspects of it. You got a new dress, you got a new suit. You know, does it look as good and new today as it did when you bought it? No. Why? Well, it degenerates. That's what's called degenerating. It gets older, doesn't it? And it loses its luster, loses its appeal, all the other aspects of it. How about your dishwasher? Does your dishwasher run better after you've used it a few times, or does it begin to run down? How many of you have had to buy new dishwashers? You know, I mean, think about it. How about your saw? Does your saw get sharper the more you use it? No. Does your furniture look as new today as it was when you bought it? No. Man-made things get old, don't they? Man-made things wear out, don't they? And all those things fall apart, and the aspects of that, and sooner or later they may end up in a salvage place or in a dump or whatever it might be, some junk pile somewhere, right? My dad had a junk pile in the backyard. My mom hated it. But, I mean, it's amazing how much old stuff he brought home, and sooner or later it ended up in a junk pile. That happens, doesn't it? Well, same thing is true in nature. When you look around us, we begin to die the moment we're born. We do. disease, decay, and death are all around us, isn't it? Yes, it is. And how much of our daily energy do we spend trying to keep alive and stay alive? And think about it. The body waxes old. The outer man, according to our text, is decaying daily. But the inner man, of course, is being renewed. But the old body, the body, this vessel, even though we have been given, it's wonderful and marvelously made, it's only going to exist for a certain span because it degenerates, doesn't it? Doesn't it? What if you neglect your garden? What if you neglect? What if a farmer neglects his corn or his bean field? Does the garden, the corn, yield more, or is it going to degenerate? When you think about the aspects of anything left onto itself, how about an orchard? What if you didn't spray? What if you didn't prune? Would it produce more fruit, or would it degenerate, and literally, those trees would literally become fruitless, wouldn't they, in time? You see, degeneration just simply means to progressively deteriorate, get old, to wear out, to decline in its quality. A marked decline from its original state and its workmanship. Deeper within the aspects of all of that. You can take a house and you can put it out there and you can leave it empty. No one lives in it. And I guarantee you, that house will deteriorate over a period of time. That's a proven factor. A house left unto itself will deteriorate, right? Well, a spiritual life left unto itself will deteriorate as well. There is a scientific law called the law of thermodynamics. That law says that everything, as far as our energy is that it is decreasing. It says that the sun is slowly but surely losing its energy and is burning out. It is degenerating. The universe is running down. The second law of thermodynamics substantiates the fact that nothing is here for eternity. It's going to come to an end someday. It all will, okay, the aspects of that. So if the universe is running out, your vehicle got old, everything around you, and the aspects of all of that degenerate, then there's no way you can deny this law. You cannot deny the law of degeneration. All human history makes us acknowledge it. Solomon said in Proverbs 29:15, a child left to himself brings shame. Anything left to itself will deteriorate. Doesn't matter what it is. Nations have risen and nations fall. They flourish, but sooner or later they decline and they crumble. That is a law of degeneration, and we've seen it over and over and over for hundreds of years. We've seen nations rise and they fall. United States of all nations have lasted longer than most any other nation that has ever existed. But they degenerate and they crumble. So do organizations. So do institutions, Bible colleges. So do congregations. So do individuals. Anybody and everything becomes subject to the law of degeneration. Everything that you and I are subject to that law, and it can happen slowly, progressively, over a matter of time, or it can happen overnight. How many of our major cities have degenerated? Think about it. How about our country right now? How about its moral concept? Has it degenerated or hasn't it? I can remember when you used the name of God or used Jesus' name in vain out there in the public or around my mom. That's why I got such a clean mouth. You never got your mouth washed out with soap? Boy, you've missed an experience. Because my mom used lava. L-A-V-A. I mean, you think about it, the aspects of it. And so, and that, I mean, is our educational system degenerating? Anybody in their right mind knows that it is. How about the economy of our nation? Is it degenerating? Oh, yeah. The middle class is making less money than they did 10, 15 years ago. On the average. They say any dead fish can float downstream. It takes a live one to fight the currents, right? And if this law is as predominant as it is, then you and I need to be aware of it, and we need to be actively warring and fighting against it, that it doesn't happen in our lives individually. Now, it's one thing to take the road of less resistance if you're going to put a road through a mountain, right? Or you're going to put a tunnel, whatever. So, yeah, you're going to look. But taking the road of least resistance doesn't build strength, nor does it build character. It has nothing in that aspect. So in all the aspects around us, this force is there. It cannot be denied. Whether it be nations, religions, institutions, movements, individual Christians, congregations, they can all fall under the power of degeneration. Where are the seven churches of Revelation today? What happened to them? They don't exist anymore. The aspects of it. So I want to just spend a little time illustrating this really clearly from Scripture. Because we have the aspects of it, and it affects us in human nature as well. How many of you know about the first king of Israel named Saul? Saul was a very humble and a very pious man when God picked him to be the first king of Israel, right? That's what the biblical text says. But as Paul gained success, and his popularity became more and more and more all over the aspects of the world at that time, the Bible tells us very clearly that Saul lost his humility, and it led him to a direct act of disobedience to God. God had told him to go against the Amalekites. He told him to wipe them out. But what did King Saul do? Well, he chose to bring Agag back. He brought sheep, oxen, lambs, whatever, jewels, gold, whatever he saw valuable, he brought it back. Rather than obeying God, he disobeyed God. And so what did God say to Samuel? God said, Saul has turned back from the following me and has not kept my commandments. Saul degenerated. He lost his humility, which led to disobedience. Pride always comes before the fall. How about Asa? How many of you know Asa? A-S-A. Asa was the third king of Judah after the division. Asa did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, like David his father. Cleaned up Judah. You know what Asa did? He removed all the foreign altars. He took the sun images and he burned them and destroyed them. Took all the idols of Asherah and destroyed them. He drove the homosexuals and the lesbians out of the nation of Israel. He drove them out. Asa even took his mother and removed her from being queen because she worshipped idols. Did you know that? So the heart of Asa was totally devoted to the Lord, quote unquote. The Bible says that his heart was right with God and he was totally devoted to doing the will of God. War with the Ethiopians. He called on God and God literally crushed the Ethiopians. 30 years, all went well. Asa built fortitudes. He built all kinds of aspects of it. But when things begin to happen against other nations, rather than turning to God for help, he turned to other kings of other nations. So God allowed wars to come into the reign of Asa. Asa got angry. Asa began to persecute the prophets and the servants of God. He even began, if you will, to oppress the people of God. Asa degenerated. Well, how about Hezekiah? 130 years later, 25 years old, he becomes a king. Can you imagine that? Just before Israel was taken captivity by the Assyrians. He was a great king. The Bible says he also cleaned out idolatry, the temple, destroyed high places, destroyed bronze serpents. The Bible says he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. There was none like him among all the kings of Judah. None. Hezekiah. Hezekiah fell sick, you remember? Huh? And he pleaded to God. And what did God do? God promised him 15 more years of life. The clock was turned back. The sundial turned back 15 spaces. Hezekiah was given life. Wow, what a blessing, right? But what does the Bible say? Hezekiah rendered not again according to his benefit done unto him, for his heart was lifted up. He degenerated. Imagine being so blessed, receiving a blessing like that from God, and that take that blessing and allow it to turn and turn your heart away from God. Can that really happen? Well, it did to Hezekiah. It certainly did. Well, you know Solomon. He was a great king, man of wisdom. I got to suggest to you he didn't use it too well. Bible tells us he was a great writer, had great glory, great wealth. In fact, the queen of Ethiopia came and said the half has never been told about Solomon and his greatness. Yet Solomon and all of that degenerated, didn't he? Didn't he? How many of you read 2 Ephesians? 2 Ephesians? Well, all of you know of the church at Ephesus, right? It was a wonderful church, right? 2 Ephesians is found in Revelation chapter 2, 1 through 7. And there the Bible tells us, and the Holy Spirit mentions, that the church at Ephesus was a church that toiled. They worked, patient. They could not bear evil men. They did not, and they hated the deeds of the Nicolaitans. They had not grown weary in what they were doing. But, the Holy Spirit says they had left their first love. They were called upon to repent, or else their candle was going to be removed from the candlestick. What? They toiled, they worked, they were patient, they couldn't bear evil men, they couldn't bear the deeds of the Nicolaitans who were trying to raise up and elevate and become powerful. They had not grown weary, but what had they done? They degenerated. A boy meets girl. They fall in love. They decide to get married. They get married. Life goes on. Pretty soon debts come. Children's come. Responsibilities come. All of a sudden, there's less kisses, less I love yous. They lost the first love. Relationship degenerated, didn't it? A person, man or woman, boy or girl, get excited about Jesus. They fall in love with him. They're excited about him. Excited about not just being saved, but excited about the love of God that they have come to know. They love the Word. They can't get enough of it. They're at everything, studying the Word. They're studying. They spend time with God. They spend time praying. And all of a sudden, whatever, as time goes on, they spend less time in the Word. They don't have time to pray anymore. No more thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. No more excitement. No more enthusiasm. More so a zest for the Lord. They left their first love. They degenerate. If Saul can, Hezekiah can, Asa can, Solomon can, all of these people can and did, so can I. And so can you. Right? Yeah, we can. The Bible says, he that thinketh he standeth, take heed lest he fall. Right? What causes it? Well, just let's view for a moment, okay? One of the things you find very confidently in Saul in these illustrations is that they become overconfident. They don't put their trust in God anymore. They put their trust in themselves and in other kings and other men. You see, success is the hardest thing for you and I to know how to handle it. There isn't a book out there that you can read that will teach you how to be and how to handle and deal with successfulness. You know that, don't you? Huh? I don't care who he is, whether he's President Obama, whether he's whoever, I don't care. He can be the president we got now. How do you handle success? How do you handle that power? How do you handle that popularity? How do you deal with it? Well, in all these cases, they didn't. They didn't. They became overbearing. They become overpossessive. They become more controlling. Over and over and over again, they lost any form of humility that could have and possibly kept them to be great men. God exalts the humble. He hates pride. How about affluence, secondly? Was not Solomon wealthy? Think of all the wealth that he had. All the wealth that was there from Lebanon on. I mean, he was a wealthy king. How about Sodom and Gomorrah? Do you know that Sodom and Gomorrah were two of the most wealthiest cities that existed in their time? But they also became so degenerate, as you know, in their lifestyle between homosexuality and lesbianism that filled the street, that they even demanded that they take angels sent from God to Lot. They wanted the angels of God to use them for their own lustful satisfaction. Wow. You know what? The church at Laodicea, you know what the word Laodicea means? It means of the people. It means the church becomes the people's church. You know, why don't you come to my church? Why don't you come to our church? Why don't you do... I mean, I try my best. I don't do it to be mean, but I want you to know you did not die for the church. It is not yours. This is not ours. This church belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. It is His. And the more we refer to us, the people, that it's our church, the more we're going to become, as it will, lukewarm. Not hot, not cold, but lukewarm. This is the Lord's church. We should be treating one another as if we are who we are. We're the body of Christ. I'm a member of the body of Christ, and I represent Christ to you. You represent Christ to me. Amen? And we ought to treat one another accordingly. Because as I do to you, remember what Jesus said, as much as you do it unto the least of these, you do it unto me, right? Yeah, He did. He said that very clearly. But you know what? The church at Laodicea, what were they saying? They say, I am rich. They say, we have become wealthy. We have need of nothing. We do not know that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. That's the church today. We put millions of dollars into mortar and bricks while people are starving to death. Come to our building. Come to us. We got it. We're wealthy. We've got it all made today. We don't need anything. We don't need anything. We don't need anything. And I find churches all over the place becoming indifferent to the lost, having no burning desire to bring the gospel and teach Jesus to the people who know Him not. No, we're so comfortable in our padded pews, and we just feel like it because this is our church. This is mine. This is ours. It can happen, can it? Yeah, it can. How about battle fatigue? Galatians 6:9 says, do not grow weary in doing good. Why in the world does it warn us not to grow weary in doing good? Jesus went about doing good. I don't think He got tired of it. Do you? In fact, the Bible says, as often as you have opportunity, do good unto all men. All men, but especially unto the household of faith. That's what it says. That's what it means. Tired of the same thing? Tired of the same problem? Tired of the same duty? Tired of the same responsibility? Tired of the same people? Tired, tired? Lord, I'm tired. Battle fatigue. Don't grow weary. Just remember that Peter teaches us that whatever gift God has given you, you do it by the power that God invests and gives you to do it. We are His people. We've all dwelt in that aspect. How many of you felt and went through the temptation of youth? We all know that time frame of people's lives, right? How about the middle age? That's far worse because that's where we become self-satisfied. You know that, don't we? We become a little lazy. We call it middle age blues. Well, how about, you know, when your children are gone? The empty nest syndrome. Your dreams, you never made them. Your change of life takes place. A lot of emptiness and purposelessness, et cetera, starts occurring in everybody's life. How about people then who are social drinkers become problem drinkers? How about preachers starting to water down the gospel? How about Bible colleges turning to the secular world and not teaching the Word of God anymore? How about those things that happen, like happened in Cincinnati Bible Seminary? In Mobley Christian College right now, they let go all of their real conservative teachers because they cost too much. Where does the deterioration stop? Because institutions, Bible colleges, Christian lives, Christian professors, they can all begin and deteriorate. And they do. And they do. Degeneration is all around us. And then one of the other and the last is ill-begotten people, friends that we associate with. Bible said, be not deceived. Evil companions corrupt good morals. Could be the guy at work. Could be the girl at the office. It could be somebody from another denomination. It could be one of your professors at school. It could be whomever. Don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. The Bible says about Solomon, even him did foreign women cause to sin. Even Solomon, foreign women caused him to sin. The law of degeneration, people, is real. We need, and we always want, the eldest thing. It's very important for us to just spend a day together and get refreshed, revived. You know, cake and ice cream ought to bring you, but I know, whatever. The Word of God. First Timothy, Brother Adam, this young man that came right up from the roots, that Virgil was able to be able to put some word into his heart and found good soil and has blossomed into a man of God. And we're going to have him here with us. And I'm excited about that. I said, I'm excited about that. I'm excited about the aspects of that. Don't rely on the past. Yesterday's home run never wins today's ball game, right? Never has, never will. Why hasn't degeneration destroyed everything? Because God has another law. It's called the law of regeneration. Have you heard of that law? Well, you better have, because it better be at work in you. You know? You were germinated by the seed, the Word of God, brought forth a spiritual birth when you were baptized into Christ. Your sins were washed away. You were quickened and made alive in Christ through the Holy Spirit that came into you. And you begin to walk in a newness of life, abundant life that God indeed instilled into you. Titus chapter 3, verse 5 said, He saved us, not on the basis of deeds we have done in righteousness, but according to His mercy, by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. Brother, we need that. We need that. If you've never been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ in baptism, you need to be obedient to that command and obey it. Because that's where Jesus' blood will be applied. You'll have your sins washed away. That's where you'll receive the gift, the indwelling of God's promise of the Holy Spirit. You'll be quickened and made alive together in Christ. You will rise to walk in a new life in Christ. And yes, our text this morning said, our inner man is being renewed day by day. I'm not going to die spiritually. I'm not going to degenerate. I'm not. I won't allow my life to get to that mode. I know the law is there. I got to protect my mind and my heart, and I'm the one who's responsible. Don't let it happen in your life, Bill. Amen? Amen? 2 Corinthians 5:17, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. Let's keep it new. Neos never grows old. Nothing like the love of God that fills your heart and the love of God's people that are experienced to us day by day. Ephesians 2:5, we were dead in our sins, but God made us alive together with Christ. Romans 6 and 4 and following, we were raised up with Christ so that we might walk in the newness of life. Yeah, David sinned, didn't he? Huh? But afterwards, he began to seek God like never before, right? And the Bible says that God said that David is a man after my own heart. He degenerated, but he repented. And he began to seek God like he never had before. Like a deer panting for the waters. So his heart began to pant for God. Don't lose that. But when after in the time frame of David's decline and his sin, in Psalms chapter 51, verses 10 through 13, David gave a prayer. I believe it's a prayer that all of us would be well to make a part of our lives. You know what that prayer was? You know what he said? What did he say? You remember? What? Create in me a clean heart. You understand that? God is the one who changes your heart. God's the one who creates in you a clean heart. And do not cast me away from your presence. You know that God could do that? And do not take your Holy Spirit from me. You know that He could do that? Restore. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Not yours, His. Your salvation. Restore to me, God, understanding of your salvation that you've made accessible to me in Jesus. Restore that to me. The joy of it. Are you happy you're saved? A joy unspeakable and full of glory that you and I have received because of our relationship with God. Restore that, God. What? That joy. Next Sunday can be a day you had that joy restored. Singing and praising God and preaching, fellowshipping together. Just come and be restored. Be restored. Be restored. The joy of my salvation. And then he said, sustain me with a willing spirit. Then will I teach sinners of your way, and sinners will be converted to you. Maybe the Church of Jesus Christ needs to pray that prayer, because today we're not bringing people to Christ the way we ought to be. Maybe we need a clean heart. Maybe we need to get our lives back in a right relationship with God and have the joy of our salvation restored. Because once that is restored and God sustains us with a willing spirit, then I will be teaching people. Then I will help people become converted to Jesus. Amen? We all need that, don't we? Yeah, we do. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for this Lord's Day. Thank you for the opportunity we have to come together and share together in your word. God, help us not to be deceived by this unbelievable law that permeates our world, the law of degeneration. I pray for you to renew us today, to give us a new spirit, to restore to us our joy. Help us to leave this place thanking you and praising you for the salvation that has come to us in the name of Jesus Christ. Give us that spirit that we be willing to invite and encourage people to come next Lord's Day. Be with us as we come to share and to be revived. So I just pray your blessings upon this day and upon this week and upon next Lord's Day. That it will indeed be a day that is filled with your glory, with your presence, and with your spirit. And Lord, if there's some here today that have never been obedient to the gospel and obeyed you and Christian baptism, come alive in Christ, I pray that they will think very seriously about that relationship. If there are those here today that have drifted and see that they have degenerated in their love and the desire for Jesus and for His Word, God, restore to them the joy of your salvation. Just be with us now. Bless us as we continue this day. It is your day, the Lord's day. And we thank you, God, for allowing your Son to come to give His life, that we could have life abundantly. Bless us with your presence today. In Jesus' name, amen.